Today on Real Radio.
Why should you come to church? Why should I, why should we go to church?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series simply called, Why Should I? This is a series of lessons that demonstrate how Scripture answers questions like, why should I worship? Why should I fellowship? And so on. Now recently, Pastor Jack explained the biblical reasons why we should come back to church. On today's Real Radio, he explores why we should go to church in the first place. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, why should I go to church? Acts 2:41 says, then those who gladly received his word, as Peter was preaching, they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people, 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We'll study those things in depth in the weeks ahead. Then fear or great awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, that's church, and all had things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So they continued daily with one accord, that is one mind and one direction in unity. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That is the birth of the church. As the Holy Spirit came upon the believers in Acts chapter 2, the church was born. And Peter, remember Peter, before Pentecost and before the church was born, Peter was a bumbling, goofball sailor. But after Pentecost, after the birth of the church, after Peter was converted to Christ, there was a great power that worked in him. And he stood up and preached a message. And his first sermon, 3,000 people. That's not a bad day, huh? The church grew by 3,000 people in one day. And you say, Jack, I don't like when the church gets big. I don't either. It's more work, isn't it? Do you know how much toilet paper we have to buy every month? You didn't think of that, did you? The water bill, heating and cooling and all that stuff, light bills, things like that, cleaning the carpet. Oh, yeah, it's so much better when you look at it that way to just be a little group of people hanging out together, getting a little club of cliques. That's who we are. And we're in here now. Nobody else can come in. We're here. And a lot of people form these little things, and it becomes very exclusive, and no one's allowed in. Friend, that's not church. When the Holy Spirit is at work in us, the believer, God will use our lives and God will add. Listen, not you, not me. God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. So we have to open our doors. Is it easier not to? Of course it's easier not to. But what has God commanded? God has commanded that we preach the gospel to every creature. And God will send forth his word, and in that he will, by the Holy Spirit, bring in his people. So we need to keep that in mind. Why should I go to church? Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning, right small. There's a lot of them. Why should I go to church? Listen, first thing is because the church is God's creation. Can you jot that down? The church is God's specific, beautiful, divine creation. Put that down in your notes. We're going to look at several things under that. The church is a unique gathering that God has assembled of his own special people. That's what the church is. Now, let me say something right now, especially in light of the news this morning. Contrary to all the news and all the newspapers and magazines, the church is not in crisis, ladies and gentlemen. The Catholic believers, the Catholic church is in crisis. But Jesus' church is not in crisis. Please make a note of that. Newsweek, Time, U.S. News and World Report, CNN has got the title, The Church in Crisis. I find that highly offensive. it leads you to believe that the church is crumbling and falling apart. A gathering of traditions of men is falling apart, but Jesus' church stands firm and strong. He said the gates of hell will not prevail. The church is not in crisis. The church is living in the last days, and I believe the true church is preaching, evangelizing, raising up disciples, and taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. There are groups that follow leaders and people and traditions where there's no deep or personal relationship with Christ, and they're in crisis. That's tragic. No, my friend, why should I go to church? Number one thing is not because of Jack or not because of Chuck Smith or not because of Billy Graham or not because of the Pope or whoever else. Why should you go to church? Because number one, it's God's beautiful and specific creation of His own. God created the church. Well, there's a lot of hypocrites. That's true, there is. Well, there's a lot of problems in the church. Of course there is. It's full of people. Come on, what did you expect? I am not going to go to church until I find that perfect church. Boy, are you something. So when you show up, you're going to add to its perfection? Or are you going to be the one that breaks the mold of that perfect church? Friend, I'm being sarcastic. Can you tell? I'm laid it on pretty thick. There is no perfect church. And if you think there's a perfect church, God will see to it that you see all of the warts and all of that church so that you get your eyes off of its leaders or off of its traditions or off of its ornateness and put your eyes on Jesus Christ. The church is God's specific creation. Number one, we understand this. It is unique. Jot that down, would you? Why should I go to church? Because it's God's specific creation. Yes? How so? It is a unique gathering of people. No one is excluded from coming to Christ or coming into the bride or body of Christ, known as the church. But to those who do come, they're born into a great gathering. One of the words that defines the very title church is that it is a convocation or gathering, an assembly. We say, well, I'm going to go to church. What are we saying? We're saying that we're going to a gathering of people who have made the Lord their Savior, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, the church. It's a gathering of people to glorify God, and it excludes no one. Jesus made that very clear to us. So, friend, jot it down. If you are going to be a real churchette or a churcher, an attendee of a church, number one thing, know this, you are in a unique gathering, and that gathering is designed to bring other people into the knowledge of God. And God does this by us being together. Now watch, we just read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, but look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then we read verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. A unique group of people. Number one, those who are of the church, that is, you're a member of the church. You're to be a saved person. You have come out of a life. God has brought you out of your old life into a new life. Peter exhorted them and testified and said, be saved from this perverse generation. People, are we not living in a perverse generation? Unbelievable. Channel 4 in London, England, showed their version of Shock TV. You know, we, I guess, gave birth to Shock TV in some respects. The Fear Factor and Survivor and what are these other lunatic programs? Find a husband, or what's the Bachelor and Bachelorette. Who would put their life on TV like that? They must be very lonely people. I don't get it. But to eat the stuff that these do on these programs, for what reason are people doing that? That bugs me. It just bugs me. Well, you don't have a stomach for it. No, you know what? I don't know. I've been redeemed. I've been brought out of a perverse generation, and I am not going to eat pig's eyeballs now that I'm saved. You see, well, you know, what are you saying? That we have a certain dietary law? No, but come on. We have to put a sign up. Do not eat pig eyes. Or These things that these people are eating, what are they doing? It's such a strange thing. Then Channel 4 in London, they had, and I can't believe it, the perversity of man. When Peter says, be saved from this perverse generation, Channel 4 in London had a man eat the flesh of an aborted fetus. In London, England. Broadcast on TV. No wonder why Peter said, be saved from this perverse generation. If that does not shock you, if you say, well, you know, to every man to each his own, you are lost. How can you think like that? You have become conditioned by a world and you have not come out of this perverse generation. How low will men go? How low will mankind stoop? I want to be in the church because I want to fellowship with people who have been delivered from this perverse generation. We are unique. Look at you, you bunch of weirdos, you Christians. That's right, we are weirdos for God. But what are you a weirdo for? You know what? How unique are we? Acts chapter 2, verse 8 says, and how is it that we hear on the day of Pentecost, each in our own language in which we were born? Listen to these unique weirdos. We hear the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, those from Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. This is the church. I love the fact that when we walk into this building, or you might travel anywhere in the world, as I did this week to Florida, you walk in the church and you know what? There's Cubans coming in. Did you know that? In Florida, Cubans, everywhere Cubans. Here a Cuban, there a Cuban, everywhere a Cuban. And then Jamaicans were coming in, and I love to hear them talk. You know that accent of theirs? It's so great. And then there's white people, and there's Hispanic people, and there's Asian people, and there's rich people. One of the richest men in America attend that church. Then there's poor people. Some of the poorest people, no doubt, in that area attend. They all come together into one room to worship God. What about this place? There's older people and younger people. There's wealthy people and poor people. There's white and there's black. There's Asian. I don't know if we have. Yes, we do have some Cubans. I know some Cubans that are here. Here a Cuban, there a Cuban. What is your background? For me, German, English, Portuguese. What about you? And your status in life? Are you influential or not? Do you have children or no? Yet we come together, and all of those differences, isn't it awesome that God has washed them away? We come together, and then He reassembles us as a church, and those aspects of our lives He has strengthened as believers. You say, Jack, wait a minute. I can understand how the rich guy can strengthen the church, but I'm the poor guy. You know what? We have been tested by the Holy Spirit, by all those in this church who have need. Are we a real church? Then in our poverty, because you see somebody on this side of the sanctuary may be in poverty. Somebody on this side of the sanctuary may be enjoying affluence. But as a church, are we ministering to their affluence? Are we ministering to their poverty? God puts into every group of believers those that are in need, physically, spiritually, emotionally, to see how those who have respond to those who have not. That's the church. Someone told me, hurt my feelings actually. It hurt my feelings. They don't attend church here. They attend church somewhere else. But this person, it hurt my feelings terribly because this person said, you know, I could never go to your church. And I said, well, okay, that's fine because you have your church. And she said, no, that's not the reason why. It's because the people that attend your church are affluent people. Well, you know what? You hear anything jingling in my pocket? That hurt me. I didn't let her know it hurt me. Is that the perception? No, my argument would be to this person, why don't you come inside and see how the affluent help those that do not have, and those that do not have wind up praying for those who do have and ministering to those that do have as those that have minister to those who don't. That's what I see. It's not what I dream. It's not what I hope to see. I get to hear about it all the time. The church, unique group of people. A second consideration under this point, why should I go to church? Because the church is God's creation. We are a unique gathering, yes. Listen, not only that, but we come together to do God's will. There's no greater force on the planet to execute God's will than when we come together as a church. God's desire is to use us, his people, to get his job done in the world. Will you jot that down? God wants to use us as his people to get his job done. And to me, this is always so humbling. People, I just want to be very transparent with you these weeks that we have together. Isn't it an absolute mind blower that God would want to use you and I? I'm going to ask again for those of you who are awake. Isn't it just a mind blower that God would use people like you and I to get his job done? Yeah. Isn't it amazing to me? But God, isn't that how we respond to him? But God, God says, Jack, I got a job for you to do. But God, I don't see anybody running up and, Lord, here I am, man. I mean, I got it. I got all the things you need. Come on, Lord, wind me up and let me go. Man, I don't know anybody like that. And if I see somebody like that, I'm going to wonder what they're on. You know what? I see from Moses all the way through to myself. Jack, I got a job for you to do. God, I come from a long line of decliners. I don't want to do that. I'm not gifted. I can't do it. I'm going to fail. I'm scared. Or when I was little, I would say, I'm afraid and a scared. No way. And what does God say? Come on. I'm going to do this through you. Church, whoever you and I are, God's got a job for us to do. You need to ask yourself, write it real, you can write it down and let nobody see it, but you can ask yourself this question. How is God accomplishing his will in the world through my life? That's the life of the believer. God is using you. Every believer ought to be able to say, well, you know what? God is using my life to promote his will in the earth. It may not be as grand as I would hope, or maybe I'm not being as effective as I'd like, but I know he's using me. Can you honestly say that? I'm not talking about your insecurities and your frailties. We have them. But can you, in all honesty, giving glory to God, say, you know what? The Lord has used me this last week. Did you make yourself available for God to use you? Or will you go from this place today and say, God, make my faith a valuable tool in your hands. I want to be used by you. Well, God's desire is to get that job done through us. And there's three things I want you to jot down regarding him getting his will done in the earth. That should result in a passionate life, a dedicated life, and a practical life. Passionate, dedicated, and practical. Listen, passionate because we have something to live for as Christians. We have something to live for. If you've come here this morning and you would say you're a Christian, you would say that you're a Christian, but you're not very dedicated. You're not very practical about your Christianity, meaning there's no passion in your Christianity. But you say you're a Christian. Is Christianity passionate? Is it dedicated to my life? And is it practical? When someone looks at your life and my life, is God's will being brought to pass by how you and I live? Jesus put it this way in Matthew 5:14. You, us, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Question, church, for all of us, for me, is God's will being done in my life? If that's true, there will be those in the world either commenting favorably or criticizing us in a negative fashion regarding God's will being done. What I mean by that is, and friend, I hope you all know this by now, if you're going to be a Christian, people are not going to run up and pat you on the back and say, "I'm so glad you're a Christian. Well, look at you." They're going to probably hate you. Jesus said they hated him first. They're going to hate us too. So when they glorify our Father, which is in heaven, by our good works, it doesn't mean they pat us on the back and say, "Wow, it's so neat knowing you." They could say, "You know what? You make me sick. You're this, you're that, you're praying. Stop praying for my family. Stop praying for this street that you live on. Stop telling people that God loves them." That, as they say that, did you know that? As they say that, they're giving glory to God in heaven. You just thought it was all good news, huh? No, even when they curse our righteousness, they're giving glory to God. When they criticize us, when they get angry, they give glory to God. They don't even know it. I love that. Our next consideration under this point is bringing God glory, certainly. Why should I go to church? Because it's God's special creation. Why should I go to church? Because it's there that I get to bring God glory. People, simply put, God loves the fact of us coming together. Now, you know what? Outside of a special, maybe it's a vacation, maybe it's a holiday thing that you're away, you're to be in church. I'm to be in church with you. I don't want to sound legalistic by no means at all, and I'm not being. But you know what? Unless you're sick or on vacation, me too, I should be in church. Why? Because God says so. Why? Because it's the way I can bring him glory, and plus when we come together a couple times a week, we are strengthened. The Christian's living, breathing, and billboard in life is to bring glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." Isn't that wonderful? "A royal priesthood," God says, "a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into light." See, when we come to church, there's people, by the way, watch this, though we're kind of remote and out of the way, there's people possibly driving down the main avenue out here and saying, "What are all those cars parked there?" Oh, someone might say, "That's a church." Somebody may say, "You know, look at all the traffic going in and out of that place. What's going on? You know what? Maybe we should pull in there and see what's happening, you know?" By you just gathering, it brings glory to God in an extenuating manner. But by us being together, sitting together, learning, letting the Holy Spirit work in our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, "Why Should I Go to Church?" It's part of Pastor Jack's series simply called, "Why Should I?" which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, we're offering Pastor Jack's series called When a Christian Prays in a 2-CD set. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about prayer, and sad to say, even some professing believers pray without understanding what prayer really is. And of course, Pastor Jack addresses these kinds of issues in this audio series. When a Christian Prays, Pastor Jack's 2-CD set is yours for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD series called When a Christian Prays. Call, click, or write, but do it right away. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the banner on the right there that says Special Offer. Or maybe you prefer the traditional way, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.